G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max,
the podcast.
ESPN Radio.
Check the guys out live
Cowboys
weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Yes, the two turnovers that resulted in field goals. Well, that's not exactly the margin of victory, except that maybe if you get in range and pick a field goal, although for the Cowboys that's not so easy, right? Then
poor guy.
Everything changed. Oh, that was so hard to watch. Kicker can't find the.
He know he's gonna be gone. He know this is last year for the Cowboys. They're getting ready to go find him a kicker fast.
Oh my God!
I feel so bad for him.
Four and he could have like kicked like a 55. They're like, nah, we're gonna go for it.
I mean, when everyone, the whole country feels sorry for you, they can't even get mad because they feel so sorry for you. Oh, it's got to be a bad.
And he over there warming up. I'm like, I don't know why you warming up.
Standing on the sideline, and you know the camera kept paneling to him.
I know that they showing him. I'm like, man, you're not going in. Stay loose.
What are you supposed to do at that point? But as you said, Key, he has the job and not someone else for a reason in the first place. Do you bring someone in? Do you go in? Like, it's tough.
Well, they brought somebody in. They put him on the practice squad to spook him.
Right. But yeah. I guess he was spooked. Because
and if they didn't block that PAT, that thing was going wide left.
It wasn't going to be good anyway. It's nuts. So anyway, Cowboys lose is the bottom line. Dak Prescott throws an interception early in the game. He throws one later in the game. As Key said, at first glance, he thought maybe the second one wasn't on Dak. When you analyze it, it was on Dak. That's two interceptions against Brock Purdy's no interceptions. Guess who won the game? They both played great defense, both teams. What is next for the Cowboys? Dak Prescott on why he's thrown so many INTs this year. Listen to this.
Yeah, it's very frustrating. Something I've got to get in the offseason, take a look at all of them. As I said before, they all have their own story. But two tonight, as I said, unacceptable. I can't put the ball in jeopardy like that, whether they're tipped up in tight throws or whether I'm late on a stop route. Just can't happen. And the number that has gotten to is ridiculous. And I can promise that the number will never be this again. I can promise that.
Uh-huh. Okay, I promised that before this one, brother. Whew, it's a bad one.
He didn't play well at all.
No.
The stop route on the outside that D'Amador Lenore drove on, he couldn't really step into the throw. As you could tell, he was being rushed and the hand was being put up, so he had to kind of throw over it. He wasn't able to get full stride and step into it to let it go, and it was late. He just, for whatever reason, he's a turnover machine. And he's been a turnover machine, here recently, especially in games that matter the most. And so when you look at Dak Prescott, a lot of this was on him. He doesn't escape from this at all, because if Brock Purdy's their quarterback and not Dak Prescott, they probably win the game. And that's crazy, crazy as it sounds.
We saw some clock mismanagement this game.
Uh-oh. Yes, can the boy tell time?
Oh, my Lord, no.
No.
No, can the boy tell time? Oh, no. That's Royal Tannenbaum's Bill Murray. All right. Jerry Jones, Cowboys owner, president, GM, and giant obstacle to them winning a Super Bowl because of his own giant ego. Is Mike McCarthy on the hot seat?
No, not at all. And their decision to for our kicker was exonerated with his field goal in my mind, and I'm proud for him.
Jerry Jones has an issue here, Key, where he wants to be the guy who identifies the coach, keeps him forever, the whole thing.
I mean, they won 12 games this year, man.
Win 12 games every year.
They got to the divisional round. So, like, they got a playoff win.
They do win 12 every year.
Every year they win 12 games. Like,
it does feel that way.
I get Max, you know, the narrative that stays with Jerry Jones as this – his ego is always going to get in his own way, Key. But to sit up here and to think, oh, now we're going to make a head coaching change when you've seen this team move in the right direction. Like, for me, there has to be some type of accountability on the field with the players. Now, if you want to talk about Kellen Moore and some decision-making around plays at the end of the game, okay, fine.
But, Jay, the players have all changed through the years. So, like,
you also lost Tony Pollard.
But what I mean is,
quarter.
Like, you have to isolate variables. So, I'd agree with you. So if it's 3 or 4 years or 5 or 8 years, then you start looking at players, accountability, coaching, that. But what's been the only consistent thing for 28 8 years is Jerry Jones.
Okay, so if you're telling me it's Sean Payton, okay, maybe so. But maybe Sean Payton doesn't want to play for Jerry, doesn't want to coach for Jerry Jones.
Not if Jones doesn't give up some control. That's what I'm saying is the ego. There's the ego part. He wants to do it his way. You may have to compromise eventually,
Keith. But see, here's the thing that drives me nuts with guys like Max Kellerman.
Doing my job.
There's this notion that's out there that Jerry Jones is in the way. It's not that he's in the way. Because he's not telling the coaches which plays to call. He's not telling them the game plans. He's not doing any of it. The only thing that his sons, along with Will McClay, they do is find players to give the Cowboys. That's all he does. In his press conferences, in his radio show. And the money he puts into the stadium and makes and running in the league. And that's all he does.
What would have happened if Bill Parcells would have stayed in Dallas?
If he would have stayed?
Yeah.
Then they probably could have had a Super Bowl by now.
Or two. Key.
But the problem is when you're dealing with Bill, you don't want to have an owner talking, doing those sort of things.
So if a coach
is okay with that, then it's not a problem. Bill wasn't okay with that.
Right, so you're going to have – that's what I'm saying. If Bill Parcells or Sean Payton or someone of that caliber – I'm not saying they're exactly the same caliber. I put Parcells ahead of Payton, but Payton's a great coach. If someone like that wants you to zip it.
But wait, Max, so you're saying that if Sean Payton were on the sidelines yesterday, that would have given you more confidence in Dak and would have changed his performance? You think so?
I think you get better results with Sean Payton than Mike McCarthy.
So Dak, the guy has not had back-to-back games with Max on that one.
Okay, but Keith, so Dak, the guy who has not had a back-to-back game without a turnover, interception, or a lost fumble for 49 straight games,
How long has McCarthy been head coach? How many seasons is that? So it's about three seasons, right? How long has McCarthy been head coach?
Three seasons.
Oh, isn't that funny how that lines
but
up
he hadn't
exactly?
Had Dak for three, but he hadn't had Dak for all three. Remember, Dak got hurt.
Okay. But 48 straight games that he has played in, or the games that the Cowboys have?
49 straight games he's played in.
That he's played in. So that predates him by a little bit. Whatever.
Still,
it's McCarthy's whole tenure, by the way.
They can fix that. They could fix it, but it's not all McCarthy because Kellen Moore calls the offense, and Kellen Moore should be able to see some of the problems that Dak is having when he delivers the football. I understand what Max is saying. I don't think that Mike McCarthy should be fired either, Jay. But I understand what Max is saying.
I don't think he should be fired either.
Maybe Sean Payton gives you a little bit of something, much like they got rid of Doug Peterson in Philadelphia. They decided to go with Nick Sirianni and blow the whole thing up. Now they're going to find themselves probably back in another Super Bowl after winning one several years ago.
Agreed.
So I understand what Max is saying.
But I guess my point is, if you put Sean Payton against a lot of head coaches in the NFL, I'm like, okay, I'm taking Sean Payton, with the exception of a couple of few.
But I'm not firing
Mike McCarthy after a 12-win season.
When your personality as an owner or GM, which is both in Jerry Jones' case, interferes with you making the optimal choice because you're making suboptimal choice, even if it's a good choice, but there are better ones to be made. It's too hard to win like that. It's hard enough to win as it is.
Yeah, but you can't, as a head coach, man, really, to be honest with you, Bill has a different personality. He wants to just coach football. He doesn't need an owner doing a press conference in a rut. He doesn't like that. I don't necessarily know if that bothers another type of coach. Does that bother Mike McDaniel, for instance? Mike McDaniel probably don't care. He just doesn't care. Does it bother Sean Payton? Probably. It probably would bother Sean because Sean is more like Bill. Doesn't want to be dealing with all of that unnecessary. He just wants to coach football. Give me the players. Let's evaluate these players. These are the ones that I want. I don't want to be overruled on these type of players that I like to coach my team, and I don't need my owner, general manager discussing what went on post-game.
You know, Jay,
every coach is different.
It seems to me that kind of what underpins this kind of debate or argument is
conversation is that
there are guys like me who make broad correlations. Like, all I notice is this happens and then this happens. And then you might come in and say, wait a minute. Let's look at the details here, right? The details don't exact. I know it's a convenient correlation to make a big, broad one, but the details suggest something else. And I can see both points of view, but sometimes I say, yeah, but all I can see is a giant 28-year trend of being good but not good enough. Are you saying in this case the details outweigh the broad correlation that, in fact, you would stay the course and keep McCarthy?
I would. I mean, look, if you're asking me to choose between Sean Payton, if I'm Jerry Jones of the way I think, I think Mike McCarthy has done one heck of a job this year. I actually think he's not receiving the credit that he deserves because of the way they went out, because the way we set expectations, and the way they set expectations, frankly. But a lot of it has to come down to your quarterback play to make those. Like when Tony Pollard went out, Key, I sat there and I said, okay, this is the moment where you need Dak Prescott to raise the level of play for the players on the field. And he wasn't able to do that.
So I think a lot of the kind of consensus was a couple of years ago, they have the quarterback, they may not have the coach. Jay, you're saying they have the coach, they may not have the quarterback. Key, where are you on that? Do they have the coach, the quarterback, neither, or both?
I think they got both, but they got to figure some stuff out. I think they got both. I think Dak Prescott, in the right situation, could win a Super Bowl. I really honestly think he can. He's got to turn down the turnovers. You got to bring them down. Cannot turn the football over. You just can't. Can't turn it over.
I think they may not have either. But I hear what you're saying. It may be fool's gold because these guys will get you believing. They'll get you close, but they had a lot on the team this year, and they didn't get
enough. Does Buffalo have both?
I think so. I know they got the quarterback. I don't know. Maybe the coach now, as you predicted, as you guys were talking about last week, now the focus starts to change, and all of a sudden, McDermott. Hold on a second, everybody, right? Has Dan Quinn earned a head coaching job? Do they need to move on from Kellen Moore, right? A lot of questions. You know who has both? The quarterback and the coach, certainly they have the quarterback. Do the Bengals have both? Has Joe Burrow cemented his place as the second best quarterback in the NFL? If he beats Patrick Mahomes and wins a Super Bowl, could he challenge Mahomes for the number one spot? Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
That's why I like Joe Burrow. He'll come in the next year at a level, even playing field from a hype standpoint as Patrick Mahomes. And he'll come in that way where Josh Allen has come in that way and hasn't really put it out there quite like Joe Burrow has over the last couple of years. You might want to reevaluate that situation on the hype machine and start looking at the dude with the Cartier glasses. I got to get back and tumble it.
Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. We're on ESPN 2 till 8 a.m. Eastern. It is now 8:17 a.m. Eastern, so you catch us on ESPNU up till 10 a.m. You can download the app if you don't already have the ESPN app. It's a great app anyway, but click more on the app, scroll down to live radio, and you have us right there. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guys, Joe Burrow wins again. The dude is just a winner. And this is when, Jay, you could say, oh, you're making the broad correlation again, right? But, like, I remember so many times in Tom Brady's career where I'm like, man, that guy got lucky. but luck is the residue of design. No one gets that lucky for 23 years. He was that lucky because he was actually the best, right? And in the end, what difference does it really make if you're the one who always gets so-called lucky? Joe Burrow had the greatest game in the history of college football when they needed it most in the championship. He, after having the greatest year ever, he got drafted number one. He got hurt. He came back from an injury that really he shouldn't have come back from that strong, that fast. The very next year, comes one throw away from winning the Super Bowl, and now is back in the AFC Championship game. And guys, he's the only dude who's undefeated against Patrick Mahomes. He's never linked up three times. He's 3-0. Once a playoff win on the road, he's going back there on the road. Like, at a certain point, Mahomes starts to get challenged by this dude for that number one spot. Here is Joe Burrow on the Bills Chiefs. Let me just explain. There's a neutral site if the Bills and Chiefs play, right? Because of that whole, because of the DeMar Hamlin thing. So a lot of people wanted tickets for that, right? Like, oh man, we wanted to see that neutral site. But instead, Joe Burrow upsets the apple cart. Now you're playing in Kansas City. So he was asked, what about that whole thing? Listen to this.
Everyone talking about a neutral AFC championship game, not even thinking about you guys. How much did that motivate you coming into this?
You better send those refunds.
Key, you got to send those refunds, man.
Yeah, he talked that talk. He him. Ain't that what they say, Jay? He him.
He him.
Yeah, he him now. So, I mean, look, Joe Burrow, good, man. Like, what can you say? Can't say anything. He's good. I mean, he went on the road and took care of business a year ago in Tennessee. Went on the road to Kansas City a year ago, took care of business there. He goes on the road to Buffalo, hostile environment, snow coming down, fans going crazy, Bill Mafia, seems like the team of destiny. Guess what? All he did was allow defensively 10 points and offensively they put up 27. That's all he did. And take his team to victory and they celebrate on the plane ride home. That's it. I mean, what more is there to say? You know, we start talking about Josh Allen MVP, Josh Allen this and that and all this and that. Put that in the rearview mirror. Now the conversation is start of the 2023 football season. Who's going to win the MVP? Is it Joe Burrow? Is it Patrick Mahomes? Is it Lamar Jackson? Like, those will be the three, four names. Justin Herbert. You know, Jalen Hurts. Those will be all the four or five names that we talk about when I believe Joe Burrow at the top.
I mean, I think 2023, the start of that season, you're going to be having a conversation about, is Joe Burrow the best player in football?
Depends what happens right now.
Yeah, that's what I said. You could be having the conversation around it.
Well, here's
his resume. Let me finish my thought, though. His resume may not be the same as Patrick Mahomes, but what he's been able to do in 2 years, these guys have won 10 consecutive games. 10 games. Like, his first two drives, this dude was 9 for 9 for 105 yards and two TDs on the road in Buffalo. So if he's able to do it again, Max, this time in Kansas City, and do it in a Joe Burrow-like way, don't let him win the Super Bowl. The conversation will be, has he surpassed Patrick Mahomes, the best player in the game?
That's what I mean, Jay. Like, let's take the different outcome.
Yes.
Let's say Joe Burrow, and within this he can play well, not as well, but let's say he loses to Patrick Mahomes in the AFC title game. I still think he goes into next year as the number two guy because they've met twice in the AFC title game, both times in Kansas City, and split, right? And he'd beaten now Josh Allen. He got that pelt on the wall too. If he beats Patrick Mahomes but loses in the Super Bowl, there'll be certain questions about him not being able to get over the top in the Super Bowl. But, like, if Jalen Hurts beats him, now Jalen Hurts is in that conversation too. Brock Purdy's not going to be in that conversation, but Jalen Hurts will be because of the way it looks. It just looks right.
Yeah, Brock Purdy might
best
not,
player in the
Brock
game.
Purdy yep. might yep. not crack the top 30.
Right, right. But
even with a Super Bowl victory.
So I think then if it's Hurts who wins, now it gets a little more complicated. If Joe Burrow beats Mahomes and wins the Super Bowl and wins Super Bowl MVP, a lot of steps to go before then. You'll have a real argument heading into next year who the best player in football is, Mahomes.
Yeah, but Mahomes is so far out there, Max,
that
it's hard to catch that guy right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
He's got to have – Joe Burrow's got to have a couple more of these, and Mahomes have got a couple more negatives.
He's like Nick Saban. It's like you can pop Nick Saban. You can pop Nick Saban once or twice and even have a winning record. But
he's
like,
so far out
he's
there.
He's got a big resume, but it'll be Burrow right on his heels.
Because part of that is – 5 AFC championship games at home.
Rough.
Then he already won an MVP.
But
he's played in the two Super Bowls.
Like I said, I hear you on the overall resume, but it's similar, like Nick Saban, to a guy like Kirby Smart, right? Like, okay, like back-to-back national championships. And then all of a sudden you're like, well, wait, new guy on the scene. I know the resume's better, but like as of right now, who's better?
Well, I would say it's like Dabo if he had gone undefeated against Saban, right? People there might still be people who take Saban.
Of course. Yeah,
but my point is, guys, but now that's the argument, those two. And if Burrow gets to the Super Bowl, and especially if he wins, that's it. It's Mahomes or Burrow. Who do you want?
I will tell you, though.
And those are my two guys.
Going back, watching Patrick Mahomes, okay, that dude, that little sling sidearm throws, that thing is
different quarterback. So but the different. Eagles and Jalen Hurts cannot be ignored. They cannot be ignored. And if they win the Super Bowl, it's going to be because of Jalen Hurts.
That's why I put him right there, Key. If the Eagles win the Super Bowl,
it's going to be because of Jalen Hurts.
Yep.
And Jalen Hurts, if he wins the Super Bowl, if they win the Super Bowl, he's probably going to be the MVP, which means that in the end, the conversation, he leapfrogs in front of Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. He leapfrogs in front of Joe Burrow on an even playing field. They're kind of be even conversations.
He got one and Burrow ain't got one. Yep.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and
but, Mahomes. See, here's the difference to me if Jalen Hurts does it. This is the reason why he doesn't challenge Mahomes yet, but Burrow would challenge him. Because Burrow's undefeated against Mahomes if that happens. He's faced him four times, beaten him twice in the championship game if that happens. Been to a Super Bowl, almost won, and then came right back and win another. So his resume is just thick enough, especially against Mahomes, to make the comparison, whereas Hurts would need to do it again the next year.
Yeah, but that Super Bowl trophy crushes everything.
Yeah,
it does.
Right. Oh, no, it puts him ahead of Burrow. It just doesn't put him with Mahomes.
Can I just expand the picture for a second?
Yeah.
When you think about this, is like this whole David versus Goliath notion out here. What name doesn't belong? Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, Joe Burrow, Brock Purdy. Right?
That's why I don't like the Niners to win.
Like what he needs to do to overcome those names in general, like it can make the feat so much more magnificent if he's able to pull it off.
Who is that? Brock Purdy?
Yeah.
Yes.
All he needs to do is be 19-27, 230 and a touchdown, and the defense needs to play well, and he wins. He's good.
We'll see because he ain't playing Dak.
Oh my!
He ain't playing Dak Prescott anymore. Now you get into the thick of things. Now he's got to go through Jalen Hurts and either Patrick Mahomes or Joe Burrow, and they'll also not turn the ball over and do all that, but they'll also make spectacular plays.
Can he have a bad game against Philly? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It could come to a halt. He can stop. He could get crushed. This next week.
But I mean, it's a good experiment to see if you actually need a premier quarterback because three of them are premier, one of them isn't. Giants exceeded expectations with a good quarterback. So what's next for them?
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
The Eagles are playing the best football in the National Football League.
Hurts looks. Hurts fires. Complete. He's got Dallas Goedert spinning across the goal line into the end zone. The Eagles score. Hurts is back. He's going to go with the draw. He's going to run. He's going to score. Jalen Hurts.
Harris.
He's healthy.
They should be arrested for because it was assault. It was assault all night long.
Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. I was feeling good about my beloved New York Football Giants heading into this Eagles game, mainly because there was a lot of reporting that both Jalen Hurts was the key to everything, but also Lane Johnson's always been the tipping point on that O-line. Like, in 2017, I could see the Eagles coming. They had the defense, and I was talking about it then. Lane Johnson's healthy. They're basically unstoppable. When he gets hurt, not as much. And you could see from the beginning, the crazy thing about how good the Eagles are is, yo, Jalen Hurts wasn't right. Neither was Lane Johnson. And they still rolled the Giants, who had been playing good football. And by the way, I'm all right with the way Daniel Jones played yesterday. No one was open. The Eagles get pressure on the quarterback. They have a real good secondary. They can cover. They got a defense that's coming at you. They have an offense that can run the ball. Giants can't stop the run, man. It's one of them days.
One of them days.
Daniel Jones at the post-game presser on his future.
We'll cross that bridge when we get there. I've really enjoyed playing here. I appreciate all those guys in the locker room. It's a special group of guys, and I've really enjoyed being a part of it. So we'll figure out where that goes, but I have nothing but love and respect for this organization and the group of guys in the locker room.
I mean, Jay, I know you're a Giants fan too.
Y'all wake me up. He done yet?
Yeah, he keeps it real vanilla, shall we say. But but my point about Daniel Jones is you could put him in the category with Derek Carr and Dak Prescott, whatever. Like, they're good, but not athletic good, but not great. But I got to say one thing about Daniel Jones. Dak Prescott and Derek Carr have had multiple years of real receivers and real receiving cores. And at number one, we know that Daniel Jones can do this without a number one and with a rookie right tackle who really isn't ready yet, Nevin Neal. He's coming along, though. And I really don't know what Daniel Jones' ceiling is at this moment. From what I saw this year, I think you can win a Super Bowl with that guy. Key, I'm very happy with even Daniel Jones' play yesterday. He's good to me. He's good. I don't know how good because I need to see him with
something
he can do.
He's fine when he gets DeAndre Hopkins. When he gets Stephon Diggs, Michael Thomas, DK Metcalf, Amari Cooper.
T. Higgins. Yeah.
When he gets one of those type of guys, he'll take the next step. I think he is headed in the right direction. Unfortunately, for the New York Giants, there's some decisions that need to be made on his future in his contract. And it's not that difficult to do. You know where he's going to come in at, roundabout. And he's got to be realistic with himself. And I think he will be because he's a Duke guy and he'll be, you know, not try to break the bank, so to speak, or get out of pocket. He'll just do the right thing and, you know, for the franchise because they've given him an opportunity. And he'll be a Giant for the next several years.
What do you think about that, Jay? What's the number?
I don't know exactly what number is, but it has to be the right price. And I think Brian Daboll, even after the game, you know, we're going to focus on Daniel Jones being noncommittal. But Brian Daboll was even noncommittal, right? I mean, literally after the game, he was asked if they expect Jones to be back in 2003. And he said, yeah, all these conversations we're going to have. We've got a long offseason, and there's a time and place to have those conversations. Tonight's not it.
Right? And so, that's okay.
That's fine. That's fine. But
after a game.
I go back. I know what the market dictates, but it will have to be the right price, because for me, I'm not going to overpay for
Daniel Jones. Okay, the top of the market. So Key has suggested, I said early in the season, after week 4 or 5, do him now because he's going to get more expensive. 3 years, $75 million. Key said, Max, it's going to cost 90, and I immediately said, sold. Let's do it for 3 years, 90. At this point, having won a playoff game and played well and better when they needed him most, until this Eagles game where they had no shot, Key was saying now it's going to cost you 40. I'll give him 3 years, 120, 85 guarantee. I do that right now. And, Jay, 40 is no longer the top of the market. I think you can win a Super Bowl paying this dude $40 million a year. You need some other pieces. I don't think that stops you. Do you think it's too much, 40?
Rather be 35. Yes, yeah,
sure, of course. But
30, I mean, 40.
Are you going to quibble over 3 to 5 a year?
Jay, like, oh, I'd rather be at 35. I get the deal done for 35.
Jay
might
wants
be able
to know
to
the cash price.
Yeah, exactly.
He wants to know the cash price.
Key, let me ask you this about Daniel Jones. He's had a good year. He's shown improvement. Is he your franchise guy?
Yeah, he is, because the franchise guy to me is a 3-year window. So. I'm willing to give him a 3-year extension with some real money. The 3 years probably at about $125, and about 90 of that fully guaranteed up on signing. Make him, you know, slightly average at about 40, you know, somewhere in there. That 40, that 38 to 40,
okay.
Wiggle room, but that's what it's gonna be.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it is. He's a starting quarterback in the National Football League in New York City for the New York Giants, one of the staple franchises in the National Football League.
See,
you can't have him walking around being paid like me. That's not going to work.
That last line that you said, Key, he's a starting quarterback for the New York Giants in this city, in this market. I don't know if I see him as a franchise quarterback. When I hear franchise quarterback.
Phil Simms and Eli Manning were kind of at the same level as this guy. Good. Not great in the regular season, but great in the playoffs. And I thought in that first game he was great in the playoffs in that one game, and then overmatched against Philly. I didn't think he was bad. And Jay, Key, you know how earlier you were saying, it's like almost like a we were all kind of talking about it toward the end of the last segment. It's almost like a referendum these playoffs on, do you need one of those special quarterbacks to win a Super Bowl nowadays, because you got three special guys and Brock Purdy, who's not the same talent level, right? So when all things even or things similar, can a Brock Purdy-led team overcome a Jalen Hurts, Joe Burrow, or Patrick Mahomes-led team, right? Like that we're going to find out. But the question with Daniel Jones is, he's not one of those other guys, but I think he's also not Brock Purdy. And I think you can win a Super Bowl with Daniel Jones. And I think he's a little more than just like a mid-pack quarterback talent-wise. But we shall see.
The fact that he had his team in the playoffs and he was a starting quarterback in the divisional round, regardless of how they got bombed on against Philadelphia, speaks volumes. He's a good quarterback. In his first time in his career, he's had a competent head coach. Now let's see if he can do it a second time, second year, in the same system. When you're in the same system 2-3 years in a row, it's going to be easy for you.
Key, here's why I look forward to finding out next year, too, especially if they land, you know, a top wide receiver, and you can speak to this better than anybody. You know, when you are able to kind of move things around because there isn't that top dog, like I wonder how that adjustment period is going to work for Daniel Jones and trying to force feed that top dog, and how that plays it. That's a major factor. Everybody thinks, because you add Stephon Diggs, it just makes life easier. Can make life a lot more challenging to make that, you know, round circle fit into a square peg.
That's why you got to see it. You got to see it.
But
they haven't gotten
also,
that guy.
Not only do you got to see it, but you also got to believe in the head coaches that they're going to coach him the right way so that he's not force-feeding somebody based on them bringing him in free agents and the economics and all of that sort of stuff. They clearly don't care about paying somebody a bunch of money then sitting them on the sideline. They drafted Kadarius Toney, never played him, decided to ship him out. What's the kid that they brought up from Detroit, Max? The receiver?
Galladay.
But that,
Galladay. Those were Gettleman.
But they still paid him all his money. Yeah. And Brian Daboll and company was like, nah, he ain't good enough for us. And they paid him money. They didn't force him into the lineup and try to feed him.
And I think
they just was like, we're going to waste this. Forget it.
I think Jay's point is also, it's like the John Wall thing, right? Like if the pick and roll works every time, then why aren't you, if you run it every time, you actually get one dimensional and everyone else doesn't get involved the same way. And so even though it's like really good, it limits you in a certain
way. Yeah, but
that's
what
the top receiver does to a lot of quarterbacks.
But the thing is, when you have an alpha dog at the receiver position, when all hell breaks loose, nowhere else, I know where he's at.
Yep.
I know where Kelce is.
Yep.
I know where Tyreek Hill is.
Who's the dude who can get you a bucket at the end of the game in the fourth quarter?
I know that guy.
Where is that? Get his own shot. All right. A lot went wrong for the Cowboys this year, guys.
Jeez, not more Cowboys.
What the hell were they doing on that last play, though? We're going to get into that, Keyshawn.
Here, you take it.
ESPN Radio.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
I'm not going to jump to conclusions and say that Mike McCarthy should be fired. He should continue to be the head coach there. At some point, the dudes on the field have to make the plays.
100%. Mike McCarthy didn't throw the first pick. Mike McCarthy didn't throw the second pick. Mike McCarthy didn't tackle Pollard and hurt his ankle. Everything can't always be on the coach.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, were presented by Progressive Insurance. Look, a lot went wrong for the Cowboys.
Is this what Sean Payton's saying now? Ooh, right now? Come and talk to me. Come and talk to me. Come and talk to me, organizations.
They wasted a great defensive performance from Micah Parsons and company.
He going to be a what?
He going to be in Denver.
You think Denver's a lock?
That's a mistake. I mean, I'm not saying you're making a mistake.
I don't think so, man. I don't think it's a mistake.
Come on, man.
Sean Payton and Russell Wilson.
Dude, you have a chance. You have a chance to go to Justin Herbert and them boys. Come on,
he can't go to Justin Herbert. They're not.
But maybe if he makes it known that he wants that job,
I don't know, man.
They fired some of their staff already.
Yeah, well, they could fire a little more. Listen,
OC, not other coaches.
Mike McCarthy, I want you to listen to this. Remember the whole issue with clock management. They better not lose a playoff game because of clock management.
Jay,
I mean, look, Dak Prescott with the two interceptions. That's where the attention's going, but. What happened, not just clock management, but play design? What happened on that last play, Coach?
Yeah, it didn't get going. So, I really don't want to get into the detail of it, but that's obviously wasn't the plan, you know. So, it's obviously a gadget player or whatever. It's a last play situation call that we practice. So,
okay. From people who talk to the media daily, I'm just going to tell you my assessment. He does not want to throw Kellen Moore under the bus. That to me is like a head coach trying to save his OC.
He turned into Porky Pig there. That's all, folks.
Come on, Key.
Hold on. Play the beginning of that sound again.
Play it again.
Listen,
play it
Porky
again.
Pig all of a sudden.
Play it again. Yates,
yeah,
play
it. Well, I mean, it didn't get going.
Goodness. Oh, my goodness. Man, stop, man. Call him Porky Pig.
That's what he sounded like. Yeah, he couldn't. Come on,
well,
when someone
I mean,
who
really gets, it didn't get going. So,
look, I'm not saying I'm not trying to like make fun of someone who stutters. I'm saying he doesn't stutter to my knowledge.
I didn't say you were doing that. I'm just calling him Porky.
I didn't say
pig,
that.
Yeah,
say
because
that.
But that's the character Max. Who stuttered in
I get it.
Oh, we're all so sensitive. We can't say that when someone says, that's all, folks.
No, I'm not talking about that. No. You keep focusing in on the stuttering part. Mac, Jay knows what I'm saying.
I know what you're talking about. Max is not
you're saying
together.
That he's overweight?
He's not.
I didn't see that. This dude,
why are you
he's always
got to
just
well, he is overweight, but that's not why I said it, obviously.
Jeez. Anyway, Max Kellerman.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's talking about Kellen Moore. I don't know if he's talking about Dak Prescott throwing the football to who he threw it to. So when you're doing this gadget end of the game scenario, trying to just figure it out, make something happen, maybe Dak was supposed to go to somebody else with the football to get it going, and he never did. Or maybe the guy who caught the football was supposed to throw it back to the trailer coming behind him, but he got hit and never even flipped it back to the trailer. So I don't really know what Mike McCarthy is saying right there. It's either, I can tell you this, it's three things. He's either talking about Kellen Moore in the play design that he probably said was never going to work and Kellen Moore convinced him it would. He's either talking about Dak Prescott threw it to the wrong person to start the whole thing off, or he's talking about the young man who caught it and was supposed to throw it back to somebody and they didn't. Those are the only three things I can see.
So, Key, what do you think the actual play call was?
I don't know. I've never seen a hook and ladder, maybe.
You think?
I think it was like a hook and ladder.
Mm-hmm. What else could it be?
Right?
Which is catch it, and somebody's coming toss like behind back, you or whatever, then you toss it to them, and then everybody runs to them, then you throw it back across.
Bunch
and
of laterals,
run.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what they were intending on doing, but you have to throw it to the right person to start with.
See, like if you have Patrick Mahomes, right? You can try a forward lateral to begin with and maybe try to win the game.
Yeah, like in basketball, though, Jay. You got the basketball, you got the alley-oop going, but then all of a sudden, the dude set the pick the wrong way. Now the complete play is complete to you-know-what.
Yeah.
Well, at any rate, it didn't work. They threw, it's like, oh, my God, what
so
was that?
So that's on Mike McCarthy again, right?
The execution was bad. Who's that on? Not the coach?
Well, I mean,
you're prepared for that or not?
What it was, man. It seems to me
or just a better defensive play.
He wasn't too excited about it. Let's say that.
So, Keith, Zeke was at center. Do we know why?
Because it's the way that they was gonna do stuff.
Trucked. He got trucked.
It was like a truck.
I didn't even pay attention to him getting hit. I was looking at the actual snap and then the quarterback, right. And then I looked at everything else. I missed that completely.
It was
a hilarious
way for
that game to end. By the time it was over, I got out the room and left.
It leaves a lot of questions, I think, for the Cowboys. And what do you do with Sean Payton? I still think Mike McCarthy is the guy.
Well, y'all stop trying to put Sean Payton in Dallas.
I said Mike McCarthy's the guy, in my opinion.
Know why it might not happen? Maybe Sean Payton wants to go with a quarterback he believes.
I'll tell you, Mark, though, do you start looking at a guy like OBJ? I mean, do you really make that a case? Like, what are you going to do
OBJ
in the wide receiver?
What?
Do you do wide receiver-wise?
I mean, CeeDee Lamb had 107 catches for like 1,300 yards or something.
Yeah, he's good. And then you got guys in the draft coming up. You know, he's a second-round pick up a nice receiver.
You stay the course if you're the Cowboys?
They had him late. That's not their problem.
What is the problem?
I don't know.
See, that's
the problem
that's
is
what
the head coach
into.
And the quarterback aren't good enough.
I don't know. I don't know what the problem is. The problem is that they didn't put enough points on the board and they allowed the other team to get too many. That's the problem.
Yeah, the problem is that the defense was fine. The defense was excellent, right? They got a defense. They're wasting the defense on a head coach with a Super Bowl who can lead and all that.
Yeah, let me ask you something, though, Max.
And a quarterback who's good but not great.
Situation.
Yeah. Let me ask you something, though, Max.
Yeah.
Was Tony Romo good at quarterback?
Mm-hmm.
He was good.
He was good, yeah.
A couple playoff appearances and played a lot of regular season games and whatnot.
Yeah, B+.
They didn't win either with him.
Yeah,
so I guess that was the coach's fault, too.
Well, actually, yeah. Coach
so
and
that
quarterback.
Was the coach's fault.
Back then, they didn't have a good enough coach or quarterback to win a Super Bowl. That's right. They were good, but not good enough. That's a lot of the Cowboys' situation.
Does Buffalo have a good enough coach and quarterback to win a Super Bowl?
I think they do at quarterback.
Not sure about the coach.
And you are right to point out the question, do they at coach without the OC?
Does Cincinnati have enough to win a quarterback and head coach?
Yep.
But they haven't won either.
No, but they came one throw away. It's a little different than the Cowboys.
No,
one throw.
One throw away.
The greatest defensive tackle who ever lived made two of the best plays of his career
What makes you think it was one throw away? Because he was flushed out of the pocket?
Because Jamar Chase is behind the defense.
Yeah, that doesn't mean that he would have made
it. Burrow wasn't going to hit Jamar Chase. I'm going to go ahead and make that leap.
What if
he would have made that throw?
Or what if the DB would have caught
up? More disappointing season. Bills or Cowboys? Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.